Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Advent. As we move into this holiday season, I'm sure for many, it is Sunday. It is the day of rest that we all think about. But when I think of the Sabbath day that we are supposed to and called to keep holy, I don't know that rest is the right word. I think often it's easy to confuse rest with Sabbath. Sabbath, I like to think, means I can sit on the couch and watch football all day, but I don't think that's really what God intends for us with the idea of Sabbath. I think really at its core, Sabbath is meant to be that time that we can reflect, that time that we can connect with God, and that time that can energize us to move forward through the oncoming week. So this morning, as we worship together, we hope that this is a time of Sabbath for you, a time to be energized, a time to be filled with the love of God, that we may go from this place and share it throughout the week. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you this morning. I do hope you'll notice the friendship pad seated in the pews beside you or in front of you. Hope you'll pass those down, and it gives you a chance to become a little bit more familiar with the people worshiping around you this morning. We are so pleased again this morning to have Dr. Dennis Herman with us, who will be sharing the pulpit with Stacy Pardue. Many of you know both Dennis and Stacy, both being former staff here, but we welcome them back to Greystone this morning as we continue and worship together.
During the season of Advent, we wait for the one promised in Scripture. The prophet proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 11, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And so we wait with great anticipation for the one who can heal what has been wounded, who can renew our weary spirits and ignite our hearts with hope.
Today we light the first candle, the candle of hope, reminding us that Jesus was sent not only to be our Savior, but also to be our wonderful counselor. The one who hears our prayers with compassion and who offers guidance when we seek it. As we begin the season of Advent, we remember that our rest can be found in God, and through the gift of God's Son, our hope is forever restored.
Thank you. Good morning, children. Are there any other children out there who would like to come and join us? Come on down. I want you to look around the sanctuary and tell me if anything looks different today than it did last week. We do. We have the purple. What else is different? Yeah, trees and flowers. Yeah. Do you know what that over there is, Everett?
It.
That's right. It's called an Advent wreath. And every Sunday we light a new candle. Today we lit the candle of hope. And a wreath is round, isn't it? And it's made out of evergreen branches. And evergreen are trees that still have leaves all through the winter, right? And they help us to remember that even when things are not good, we still have hope because things will happen, God will take care of us. Yeah, there's a star up there and lights. Lots of things are different, aren't there? So why are we doing all this? Why do we have all these things in here that are different? Because Christmas is coming, that's right. And the word Advent means coming, so Christmas is coming, isn't it? Do you do things to prepare at home for Christmas?
Yep, I got my countdown calendar.
You have your countdown calendar? You have a Advent calendar. And we're going to have one of those today, too. Does anyone else do anything at home to prepare for Christmas? What do you do, Sumner? Get a Christmas tree, okay. All right, that's right. And we're supposed to prepare our house for Christmas, but we're also supposed to be preparing ourselves. And the special things.
To be good, our
okay. Because we're supposed to be preparing ourselves to think about Jesus and how much God loved us that he sent Jesus to live here. Today we're going to give you something that's going to help you to think about Advent, okay? And let me show you this first. This is an ornament that I made. And we're going to give you a piece of paper that you can turn into an ornament that'll be maybe even prettier than this one. Miss April's going to help me hand them out. This is the piece. Let me have one of them. This is the piece of paper, and you can color it any way you want to. And up at the top, it says, I'm hopefully waiting for. And you can write on there something you're waiting for. Maybe you're waiting for Christmas, or maybe you're waiting to see family that comes just at Christmas time. But you can color that and cut it out. And it's going to be three pieces that you fold in half, and you glue them all together. See, like this? It is. It's special paper that's going to make a wreath, make an ornament that won't come apart. Okay? Those are instructions. That's right, because we all need instructions. And you cut out each piece, and you glue them together, and you can put a piece of yarn in the top, and you can hang it on your Christmas tree. And who can tell me what this says?
Hope.
This week's ornament says hope. And you can talk with your family about hope and what hope means to them. And then I'm going to give you some other activities you can do with your family to help you prepare for having hope and to prepare for Christmas, some ideas of things you can do with your family. You can read the Bible together. You could do something kind for someone. Maybe one night you could just sit around and talk to each other and have hot cocoa or maybe something else. And there are things on here that can remind your parents what you can do to make this a special time. Because, you know, everybody is really busy in December, aren't they? We're so busy with things at school and things at work and things, all these other things that really don't prepare us for Christmas. So these are going to be some things that will prepare you for Christmas. And Everett already told us he has a countdown calendar. We call them Advent calendars. We're going to give you an Advent calendar too. You can go ahead and color in hope, and you can color in number two because today is December 2nd. And each day during December up until, well, this one goes all the way, no, all the way up to Christmas, you can color in a new day, and you can see how many days we're waiting. Okay? Does that sound like something that your family would like to do? No, we're not doing that.
I love
Yeah, those are. This one is for coloring, but you can. But you said you already have a different kind, so that's okay. So we need to remember that God loves us and gives us hope because He sent Jesus to show us how to live and to be our Savior, and we can have hope in Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for Christmas. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for our families, and help us to take some time to prepare ourselves for Christmas in the midst of all the other preparations. In Jesus' name, amen.
A word from the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 33. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's stand together as we sing.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we enter this season of Advent with a sense of expectation, a longing for your kingdom come. We remember the words of the prophets that called your people to hope for deliverance and that call us still today to hope for a world made right. As we contemplate the mysteries of the birth of the Messiah, we long for your light to break into darkness. Come, Emmanuel, and show us how to love. Teach us again and again to be your hands and feet. May we be moved to a spirit of generosity, giving joyfully from our resources and of ourselves. And as we bring these gifts and offerings today, we pray that you will use them to provide for the needs of our community and use us to share your light and hope with the world. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Shepherds go.
Let's remain standing for the reading of the gospel.
Our scripture lesson comes from Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, so you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
If I said to you that Carol Spinney is retiring, you might say, who? Carol Spinney is the voice of Sesame Street's Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch for the past 50 years. This news was reported by Brett Younger, a pastor and contributor to Baptist News Global, who writes about this notable retirement in his usual good humor style. He says Carol Spinney met his wife Deborah in 1972 while in the Big Bird costume. What woman, he says, would not be impressed by someone wearing a big, bright, yet feathered costume in yellow and being 8 feet 2 inches tall? Now, Big Bird has cheered a couple of generations through tragedy and loss, sorrow and disappointment, with his bright and cheery disposition. It's Big Bird's optimism that proclaims there will always be a sunny day if it's raining, and behind every cloud is a bright sunshine, and in every situation is a reason to be happy. We are like Big Bird sometimes. We know Big Bird people, don't we? But you know, platitudes and cheerfulness can be annoying sometimes, can't they? Sometimes we need a Big Bird, and sometimes we're ready to roast him for our holiday meal. Now, while Big Bird exemplifies unending compassion and joy and kindness, Oscar the Grouch is someone else entirely. Oscar, who, as we know, lives in a garbage can, rarely has anything really kind to say. He likes to complain a lot. His theme song is, you can sing it, I love trash, anything dirty or rotten or rusty. And that seems to describe sometimes who we are and what our current state of affairs might be better than Big Bird. But sometimes we need the message that there is dirt and trash and rottenness. Sometimes we need to know that there are people who live in such conditions all the time as Oscar the Grouch. And if we are not careful, we may become indifferent to those who, for reasons of misfortune or mental illness or homelessness, live that way too. There's something about the optimistic, cheerful Big Bird and the pessimistic, trash-talking Grouch that's a lot like us, maybe a lot like the church, a lot like the world we live in.
The reality of life might just be that is neither entirely a Big Bird world or an Oscar the Grouch world. And each of us may embrace, in the different crises and stages of life, the bipolarism of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. The fact is, I believe, that we are both and we need both. For in both characters, we see the reality and dirtiness of our world, its fallenness and its need, and the possibilities of beauty in a world that can be redeemed, a world that can be a better place. There is need for realism and possibility. In short, there is the conflict of the present reality and all it may hold, pain, conflict, change, fear, and the hope for something better to come, sunny skies, relief from pain, fairness and freedom, for example. Our Hebrew text from Jeremiah, who can be something of a grouch, reflects in this text the Big Bird side of his faith. Behold, the time is coming when I will keep my promise. I will make fresh a new true shoot sprouting from the David tree. He will run this country honestly and fairly. He will set things right. Jerusalem shall live in safety. The motto of the city will be, God has set things right. Then there is the Oscar the Grouch text in Luke. Eugene Peterson's translation says, it will seem like all hell has broken loose, sun, moon, stars, earth, sea in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic, the wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that are quaking. Advent hope, where do you find it? Where is it in our text? This first Sunday of Advent. Often the first candle of Advent is lit to represent either watchfulness or preparation or readiness or hope. Where is the light of hope?
Luke describes, as do Mark and Matthew in similar texts, three events. The first is the eschaton, the end of times. This is often called the little apocalypse. And it begins with the sun and the moon and the stars as signs of distress. People will faint from fear at what is coming upon the world, says Luke. It will all appear to be lost as heavens are shaken, but then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud to the earth with power and great glory. So they are told, raise up your heads, your redemption. That which will save you, that which is really of worth, is drawing near. Is that where we find our hope? In the consummation of history, in the loss and destruction of all we have possessed and much of what we hold dear? Here we are, ready to break out and sing carols and songs of joy this joyous season. Ready to sing of peace and of goodwill on earth. And what do we get?
Fires in Paradise, California, leaving families grieving over perished loved ones and lost homes. Caravans of refugees on our border escaping oppression and violence, some for a chance at a better way of life, some for opportunity and a job. Their reasons are varied and often lost in the political debate over admission or not. News that angry or deranged white men, Americans, have themselves become terrorists. When they are Americans, we often call them shooters rather than terrorists. They killed people in a bar in Los Angeles, a synagogue in Pennsylvania, an African-American church in South Carolina, a Southern Baptist church in Texas. And if we tire of the news of such insane terrorism in our own country, we can begin to look elsewhere to talk about how those terrorists of other religions are threatening our world.
And add to all that a presidential campaign which is already opening up with unbelievable promises, accusations, and rhetoric that few of us will really believe. And we dread the years of division and vacant promises ahead, and the garbage can campaign of many Oscars the Grouch, and the pie in the sky promises of the big birds who say everything is wonderful. Who can we trust? And is there any hope for the political process so overfunded by super PACs and individuals who seem to be able to sway elections with dollars? And dare we mention intervention by other countries who know how to interfere with elections? Where is hope?
Where is hope in the anger in our world of faith? Not just on the differences in major religious groups, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, and our debate over who God loves the most, but among our very own Christian faith family who continue to argue over who can and cannot be included in the fellowship of believers. And to top it all, in a world where many followers of Jesus are trying to heal the sick, feed the hungry, care for widows and orphans, and promote the spirit of a sacrificial Jesus, there are some in recent years who feel they must join in a campaign over the color and design of Starbucks coffee cups at Christmas, as if Christ's coming were somehow contingent upon the appearance of a drawing of a prancing reindeer or a jolly Santa Claus shouting Merry Christmas on the side of a red coffee cup filled with caramel, mocha, Colombian coffee, topped with whipped cream. Or is our hope in determining if menorahs at Hanukkah or nativity scenes at Christmas can be displayed on government-owned public property? And please, let's not get into seasonal greeting card controversy over Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. As one minister declared with frustration, I just wish everyone a happy holiday of your choice. He noted that there were about 24 holidays celebrated by 7 major religious traditions between November 1st and January 15th. Where is the hope in Luke's reminder of time running out? Whether that is because of an expected eschaton or because the time clock of life is ticking for each of us. Either way, can we forego some of the trivialities that distract us from the proclamation of God's love and the hope that we have in Christ?
When I retired from full-time pastoral duties, I decided I needed a job, some kind of job, you know, a low-stress job, emotionally non-demanding job, so I took a part-time job as a hospice chaplain. My work was primarily at the Duke Hawk Pavilion, the inpatient hospice. Some of you know how painful a place that can be, for you have visited there with family and friends, and you would not perhaps associate that with a place of hope, would you? As I began my work, one of the reflective tools utilized in the spiritual assessment of each hospice patient asked the question, is the patient depressed or hopeful? The first time I read that, I couldn't help but scoff a bit. Well, of course, who would not be depressed in an inpatient hospice facing the end of life? Yet, I found that in many cases, patients who had embraced the end times of life were ready to look upon this life not as the only life, but to look to the next life as well, beyond grief to relief. For some, it was the hope in shedding a body that no longer functioned. For some, the letting go of pain. For others, the glorious promise of seeing heaven, to see God, and being in the presence of loved ones who had gone before. Walking through the terrible pain and saying goodbye, they somehow were able to embrace a hope that somehow, some way, things would be okay. That in the words of Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. Does any of this end of times news make any sense for us? Eugene Peterson, who just recently died after years of worsening dementia, comments in his translation of the Message, "Yes, Jesus makes sense. He's proclaiming a way of life that has its feet on the ground, that's reasonable and whole and practical, but that's vastly different and superior to what we're used to. Death isn't the worst thing that can happen. Suffering isn't the worst thing that can happen. Rejection isn't the worst thing that can happen. Poverty and illness aren't the worst things that can happen. He says the worst thing is to be without meaning, without love, without purpose, without hope, without God. But you aren't without God ever. You aren't cut off from God. You aren't cut off at all. The simplest act of faith puts you in relationship with God. So don't be terrified, for not a hair on your head will perish."
The fig tree is the second image that Jesus presents. Where is hope in this parable of a fig tree sprouting leaves? Well, such sprouting says that summer is near. That's hopeful. Life is seen as seasonal, and so are the events and the evolving times of our lives. In a cosmic sense as well, the movement of all events and occurrences of history are toward a harvest season. A theological term, we call it salvation history, the understanding of God's hand in all events, from creation through Christ through the church today, as the revelation of God's salvation plan. In this case, everything leads toward the understanding of the kingdom. Just as near as the summer, and just as near in this case as the person telling the parable, Jesus himself.
Some of you have been through difficult storms, hurricanes, or tornadoes, and I remember one time as a seminary student, a tornado hitting the city of Louisville, Kentucky, and I went out in the neighborhood to offer some help, and I saw people dazed in their front yards looking at the ruins behind them. One vivid recollection was one man sitting peacefully on his lawn, drinking a Kentucky bourbon amidst the ruins. Another one recalled in his grief and sorrow, "In this winter of despair, all we have left is hope." The sprouting fig tree and its promise of fruit is a word of hope to those in the winter of despair and grief. It's a word to those like the fig tree who feel dead inside. It is for those who have lost everything but have everything to gain. When you're at rock bottom, what else is left but hope? The third prong of our Advent lesson is the advice of Jesus: be on guard. Be alert. What are we to be alert to? Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life and of that day that will catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Luke has plenty of reasons to share those words within his community, because you see, things weren't very good for Luke's community. They knew a lot about distress. Many had lost hope that Jesus was going to fulfill his promises and come back. They're asking questions: why are things not better? Why are we struggling? Why are we not being financially blessed or not prospering? Why aren't we happy? Why is it that the temple was destroyed by our enemies? And why is it that we are dying without the fulfillment of the promise? We can understand the people of Jesus' day and of Luke's community as well, can't we? Their enemies were the oppressors, Rome, and what the Roman Caesars did and would do in the coming years can certainly compare with the cruelty and sickness of any terrorist group active today. We have every reason to worry and no reason to worry. That's the paradox of the believer's life.
So Jesus reminds us this Advent: don't be too worried. Watch at all times and pray that you may have strength to escape all things that might take place, which threaten to destroy and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is coming to us again this year. Yes, Jesus came to earth, but in a fashion, Jesus comes again and again and again. And someday Jesus will come to us and for us, however we choose to interpret that grand final coming. And what we are reminded in our lesson today is that we need to be watchful and ready, lest our hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, with the excesses which we might confuse with celebration. And we are to be reminded that the worst thing in life is to live a life without meaning, to confine ourselves like Oscar the Grouch to the garbage heaps of problems that overwhelm us and make our home in the trash of all the world's injustice and insanity. Or we can deny the realities of a world in need and be the big bird who can see nothing but joy and promise, but refuse to be part of the redemption and change that is needed in this trash heaps of life. We are called as followers of Jesus, I believe, to be neither dwellers in the trash heaps or deniers of the realities of this world. Luke reminds us of that and asks us to be alert, awake to the realities, but also to be hopeful. For all of history in Luke's theology is held in God's hands. Yet we are called to an active hope, not a passive one. There is danger in both extremes of Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird. Yet to hear the message of Advent, we need perspectives from both. There is threatening news, but there is also hopeful news, too. Can we learn by God's grace to live in both the reality and the hope?
Emmanuel, God with us. Hear those words again, Emmanuel, God with us. I won't name names, I won't point fingers, but I'm confident that this morning there are some of us that are Big Bird, there are some of us that might be Oscar the Grouch. There are some of us that might be any of those other characters from their neighborhood. So whether you are Big Bird or Oscar the Grouch or somewhere in between, hear the words, Emmanuel, God with us. For we come to this service, we come to even this table, at different stages of life, with different even beliefs, possibly about God, about the Bible, about our world. Yet we all come to the same table. We all come to be reminded that God is with us, that we are all called to be children of God, that we are all called to live and to eat from the same table, from the same bread, and from the same cup. On that fateful night, many, many years ago, when Jesus sat around the table with his closest friends, it was a group that had different jobs. They came from different families. They often, as we read, disagreed about how they might spend the money that they had received, about what they should be doing as they walked through those communities with Jesus. Yet they all sat around the table, not just as friends, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. In the same way, we sit around the table this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a community of faith, all coming to the table with gratitude for Emmanuel. God is with us. On that night, on the night where Jesus was betrayed, where he sat with his closest friends, he looked at them, and after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he poured it. Saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you. For as often as you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Creator God, you who have said that you loved each of us so much, that you gave your only begotten Son for us, we ask that you bless this bread, that you bless this cup, that in our own gratitude for the truth that Emmanuel, God is with us, we would be reminded, even in these moments, of the ways that you continue to be with us in each moment and in each day. For in the holy and precious name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. take and eat bread for the journey. Take and drink the cup of the new covenant. The peace of Christ be with you. Please stand, turn, and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Guess what? We're singing. And we're standing. Turn in your hymnal. Let's sing about the love of God. Come down to earth. Let's sing.
Love divine, all love's excelling joy of earth to heaven come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away our bid to sin, Alpha and Omega be, in the faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy grant receive, that in thee return and ever, evermore thy temples lead. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Let's be seated.
Presbyterian minister Edmund MacDonald once wrote that when God sees something that needs to be changed in this world, God goes about it in a very singular way. You see, God does not send thunderbolts or earthquakes or floods, but God has a baby born, and God gives to that baby's mother a hope, a dream, a word. And that baby's mother begins to sing. She begins to sit. She begins to cradle, and she begins to teach. And through that mother and that child grows up into its calling to be whom God has intended, to be whom God has called to change this world. We come this morning to dedicate Sean Patrick Tuttle. Greystone, Sean is going to understand what it means to be a child of God, not just because Dustin and Emily and his immediate family teach him, but because you are partners with them in this work. Sean needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the church and into the world, and how to be a responsible participant. As a part of his spiritual formation, he needs to know that you will welcome him, love him, and care for him as he grows. Greystone, this act of dedication is not only for the Tuttle family, but it's for you. You are being asked for a commitment, a promise this morning. Greystone, will you teach Sean the lessons of the gospel? Will you show him in word and deed what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? If this is your intention, if this is your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"?
We will.
Dustin and Emily, Sean doesn't belong to you. He's a gift. a gift of God given to you for a season. And it is your calling as his parents to help him know what it means to be a child of God. So this morning, will you keep Sean within the reach and influence of the church so that he will learn what it means to be a part of not just your family, but a part of the family of God? Will you be caretakers of his life and raise him in the ways of faith so that he will learn the voice of God and be able to one day answer that call upon his own life? If this is your intention and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will." Sean Patrick Tuttle is welcomed into the loving care of this church and the good hope that hereafter he may never be ashamed to confess to that faith in Christ which you as a family and as a community are challenged to cultivate from this day forward. May God bless us as we journey together in the bond of family. Amen.
Going to be your Sunday school teachers. They're going to rock you in the nursery. Yes, they already have, huh? Yes. They are going to teach you about God. They're going to teach you the stories of our faith. They're going to teach you the songs of our faith, and they are going to make sure that you know the love of God. They're going to help you grow your own faith that you can call yours. Yeah. Mom and Dad have picked out a special verse that they always want you to know. From 2 Samuel, it says, "God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection." That's a verse that Mom and Dad are going to make sure that you know and you learn as you grow up. Yes, I know. Yeah. And we're going to say a prayer for you together. Yeah. Say, "Loving God, we thank you for the gift of Sean and all the joy that he brings to Mom and Dad and his whole family and to the world. We thank you for this joy and this love that you bring us. We pray that we will always be the hands and feet and arms of Christ to you, and that we will always show you God's love. Amen."
Today, as a church, we celebrate with the Tuttle family, and we celebrate especially Sean Patrick Tuttle. There is much to celebrate in this community. Tonight, we will come back together and celebrate the season by hanging of the green. There is some liturgical question of whether it is hanging of the green or hanging of the greens. If you find a green family and want to hang them, then don't bring them here. We're doing evergreens, so I do hope you'll come back tonight for the hanging of the green at 6:30. There's also a worship guide full of ways for you to celebrate this season with your church family. There are parties and music and mission trips. There is a choir presentation next week. Join us at worship at 10:30 each Sunday during the season, and look through your guide. Find a way to participate and to be a part of the life of this church. As we leave this place and sing of that town far away, would you sing in celebration and in hope?
Let's stand together. As we sing, this favorite prayer of mine for Advent shows up at the end of "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let's sing together.
Descend on us, sweet.
I think that Sean Patrick Tuttle could come up here and preach. I've never seen so many happy faces. What a wonderful gift, and what a wonderful gift you are for coming. Receive now this benediction. May the love of God, the tenderness of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit fill you with all hope this day and every day. Amen.